I'd like to take a few minutes and continue on with Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He asks a question here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then he answers it by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. By taking heed according to thy word. Proverbs chapter 1. We looked at Proverbs chapter 1, the first portion of it, and addressed the writing of Solomon. Solomon was referred to as the wisest man aside from Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, the words that are written here are the inspired word of God. So no matter who the author is, if God inspires it, it doesn't matter how smart or how wise they are. God can take even an animal and declare his name if he chooses to do that. But here he took Solomon, and Solomon has a passion to teach this and direct it toward young men. Now, it's not only isolated to young men, but it's to young women, it's to older men and older women as well. We started out by looking at that a young man is first to realize that he doesn't have all the answers, that he doesn't know everything, and that there are others around that do have direction and wisdom and judgment and discernment. He comes down and he tells us that it's necessary that we embrace a fear of the Lord. And then he instructs us that it's a blessing to have a godly father and a godly mother, and it is the responsibility of young folks to take heed to the counsel of godly parents. And then he spends a great portion of the chapter, and we just started on this, he spends a great portion of the chapter about not keeping, emphasizing that you don't keep company with the wrong people. And he spends a whole lot of the verses enlightening us that it is important as to the company that we keep. He comes down and he says, don't join hands with the sinners. He said, if sinners entice you, he says, consent thou not. He says in verse 14, cast in thy lot among us, and we will have one purse. He says, if sinners encourage you to join hands with them, to join forces with them, he says, their motive and their reason is not good, and you're not going to be blessed in pursuing it. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He even emphasizes that you don't even go in the direction that the sinner's going. You don't even keep company with the sinner. There are certain places that the child of God is not to be. There's some certain company that the child of God is not to keep. And then he describes them here in verse 16. He says, for their feet run to evil. There's some folks that all they're doing is thinking about, what can I do to stir up more ungodliness, more sinfulness? There's some folks that that's just the direction of their mind. There's some folks that they don't have a desire to hear about God. They don't desire to hear about God's word, about his righteousness. And he says, there's some people that their feet are swift to run to evil. That's the direction that they go. And he says, you don't need to keep company with those folks. He says, you don't need to even be in their circles, because their influence is not going to be good for you. It's not going to have a positive impact upon you. And then he comes down to say, and he says, and they make haste to shed blood. I don't know if you grew up in a small town country school, but there were some folks that the way they wanted to solve every problem was, well, we'll just fight about it. I don't know if you ever, in the school that you grew up, but maybe there was an afternoon fight on the playground when you were teenagers, or when you were in junior high or elementary school. But that's just the way that things were solved. Well, there's some folks that they just want to fight. They just want to shed blood all the time. That's their solution to solving things. He says, you don't run in that circle. He says, he comes down and he says that their feet are swift to evil. They make haste to shed blood. And he says, you don't keep company with folks like that. You choose the people that you associate with. You need to keep company with God's people. You need to meet with the Lord's people when they meet. You need to fellowship with the Lord's people. You need to associate with the Lord's people. Not that the Lord's people are perfect. They're absolutely not. But they do confess that they're on a journey and they're going in the same direction. Not that there's going to be setbacks and disappointments. And you may be disappointed sometimes in God's people. You live long enough, you probably will be. But you know, should you be surprised because are you not sometimes disappointed in yourself? But God's people have made a profession that we're on a journey. And we're headed in the same direction. We may have some setbacks along the way. We may have some disappointments along the way. But we're headed in that same journey. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be on the mountaintop all the time. But we're headed in the same direction. That's one of the blessings and the benefits of the Church of God. Years ago, and I don't want to bash Primitive Baptist of 80 years ago, but years ago, one of the practices was that, and I don't believe it's a scriptural practice, was to not encourage young folks in the church. With the world and Satan desiring to consume young folks in any direction that it can, the best place in the world for young people to be is in the Church of Jesus Christ. We could go up north, up into upstate New York, and there are old people there today, if they're still living, that would tell you that when they were young, they were instructed both by example and by words that the church was for grown-ups. In fact, parents didn't even take the young people to church when they were young. They waited till they got older. Did you know what? There's no young folks in the church today, and there's no churches today up in that area. The church is for the young folks. And they need to be instructed and taken to church, and they need to be given wise counsel when they're young. He says, you avoid the ungodly. You avoid the path or the circle of the ungodly. Because he says it's going to have an impact upon you. Let's go down to verse 22. Well, verse 20, he begins to talk about wisdom. And he refers to it as her sometimes, and sometimes it's referred to as Christ. You can go over into Proverbs chapter 8 and chapter 9 and see where Christ is actually being prophesied here. But he says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. What's he saying right there? I believe one example could be that wisdom is all around. That there's wisdom all around. And we're talking about wisdom that God gives, wisdom that God grants through the reading of His Word, wisdom that God grants through the fellowship with His saints, wisdom that God grants through the fellowship of older brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not talking about right here the wisdom of the world, of the stock exchange and how to make a lot of money and things like that. He says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the cheap places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. He says, wisdom is there. But then he refers to it and he says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? That's interesting how he refers to a group of folks as loving simplicity. I don't want to grow in wisdom. I want to do my own thing. I want to do it when I want to. I want to do it how I want to. He says, she crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. There's some folks that the scripture refers to as scorners. And And they're just given to scorning. They're given to mocking. They're given to making light. That's just the way that they live their life. He says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scornings?" And he says, "And fools hate knowledge." Now, we understand that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we realize that the ultimate extent of a fool is one that does not have the knowledge of God or love God at all. But I believe he's also giving us instruction right here, because he comes down and he says in verse 23, he says, "Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make my words known unto you." I know the Holy Spirit has to quicken us and bless us with his spirit. But I believe it could be that God may be saying to us that there's wisdom all around. You want to know direction for life? Then first of all, you ask God. Then you look at God's Word. And then you go to His saints. You go to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You go to your pastors. You go to your parents. And you begin to ask them questions about what is God's direction and will for me in my life. Don't try to wing it on your own. Don't try to do it yourself. Young folks, you've been blessed with that special gift of parents, and what a great blessing that is. But this is not only for young folks. This is for us as we get older. He comes down and he says, "Turn you at my reproof." He says, "Listen up. Are you tired of missing the mark? Are you tired of coming up short? Are you tired of making the wrong turns along the way?" He says, "There's wisdom all around. There's wisdom in my word. There's wisdom from above. There's wisdom all around you." But he says, "You're not looking for it. You're not asking for it. You're not seeking it." He says, "Turn you at my reproof." I believe he's giving us an exhortation right there to consider our ways. To consider our ways and say, are there ways in my life that I need to turn and be closer to the Lord? Do I need to be looking to His Word? Listen, if we need direction in our life, it's not just an empty map that's there. God gives us a detailed direction for our life, and it's in His Word. I don't like to look at maps. I don't. In fact, I was thinking just this last week, I never see any of the old-fashioned maps anymore, and probably because of the GPS on phones and things like that, but I don't like to look at maps, and I don't like to stop and ask questions. And I can't tell you how many miles that I've driven because I thought that direction was north. And I'll find out that it's south. Just going down to Lynchburg this week to the wedding, roads I'd never been on in my whole life. And I thought I was going a certain direction, and I realized I was going a completely different direction. And it, nevertheless, he says, "Turn you at my reproof." And he says, "I'll pour out my spirit upon you, and I'll make known my words to you." But he says, "But I have called, and ye have refused." Ever our situation? But he says, "I've called, but you've refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded." Wonder how many times that the Lord stretched out His hand for us, and we haven't taken heed. That ever been the case? I'm thankful that He's got me in His hand. I'm thankful I'm not going to fall out of His hand. But how many times did He point in a direction for me to go and I went the other direction? You ever done that? He says, "I've stretched out my hands and you refused and no man regarded." Now, I can tell you, and you know from experience, that the Lord doesn't have any trouble. If He wants to get our attention, sometimes He'll let us go that way for a while. But if He wants to get our attention, He knows what it takes to get our attention. And He'll eventually get it. He says, "But But he says, but ye have set my counsel, ye have set at naught all of my counsel, and would none of my reproof. He says, I've given you direction in my word, you didn't take heed to it. I've given you wisdom that is from above, that all I require is that you ask of it, of God. I've given you wise folks to go and counsel with. I've given you Sister Perry's. I've given you Brother Compton's. I've given you Jim Stamper's. I've given you Oris Jackson's. I've given you folks that you can go and get wise counsel from. And he said, you didn't do it. And he says, I've called, ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You have set at naught all of my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Look at what he says right here. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. Wow. You ever get yourself in a big fix, and then you run to the Lord? And if we had just taken heed to what God's word had to say, or godly counsel had to say, we'd have saved ourselves a lot of aggravation. Remember one time my mother gave me counsel and I did not take heed to it specifically. And I lived long enough to regret that I did not take heed to the counsel that my mom gave me. He says, this is interesting. He says, I'll laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and when destruction cometh upon you as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, he says, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. God's not required to. God hears our prayers according to his mercy and his grace. But it's not because we're so worthy or we're so righteous or we're so just. He says, then they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. He says, for they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. He says, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way. Anybody want to eat the fruit of their own way? No. No. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. I want grace. I want compassion. I want a friend of sinners. He says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Anybody want to be filled with their own devices? Look back upon your own devices. Look back on how you solve problems. Look back on how you fix things. Look back on how you make things right. Look back and see if you want to be filled with your own devices. He says, if you're not seeking me, if you're not seeking my wisdom, if you're not seeking my direction, he says, then don't run to me when you get yourself in trouble. Well, we do, don't we? And aren't you thankful that he's always there? That he's always provided for us. He says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But verse 33 gives us some really good encouragement right here. He says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me. What's that mean? That means looks to the Lord in every area and age and phase and challenge in our life. That we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, would you direct my path? And Lord, like the psalmist says, would you make it a clear path? I don't need a complicated path. I need a clear path. I'm not asking for a smooth path. I'm not asking for a path that's up on the mountaintops all the time. But Lord, would you direct my path? Lord, would you direct my thoughts? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get real discouraged about my thoughts. I say, Lord, would you change my thinking? Would you bless my thinking to be in the right direction and on the right thing? And Lord, when I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ, would you bless me to think of them for the good and for the better, rather than look at their faults and their failures and where they missed the mark? Whoso hearkeneth unto me. That's a young person hearkening unto the Lord when they're young. When they're choosing the friends that they're going to associate with. When they're choosing where they're going to move and where they're going to go to school. Where they're choosing what church they're going to go to. When they're choosing who they're going to marry. Would you hearken unto me? He says, whoso hearkeneth unto me. I believe that means going to the Lord in prayer, looking at His Word, hearing His Word proclaimed, saying, Lord, I just want to be a sponge before a righteous and holy and just God who knows all, who knows what's good for me, who knows what's good for those around me. Brother Mike Rogers said last week that he's preaching through the book of Ezra. I said, oh, one of my favorite verses is in Ezra. I think it's chapter 8 or chapter 9, maybe verse 8. It says, they proclaimed a fast by the river of Ahava. He said there was a purpose in that fast. There was a threefold purpose in the fast, and I believe it could fit every one of us here. Ezra says he proclaimed a fast. Number one, to know a right way for us. We need to know a right way. God's going to always direct us the right way. We might ask somebody and they may give us the wrong direction, but God's going to always give us the right direction. A right way for us. Number two, a right way for our little ones. That's the passionate desire of a parent, to know the right way for their children. When a parent sees a child going in the right way, that parent rejoices. And they don't say, look what a great job I did, but look what a great job God did. A right way for ourselves, a right way for our little ones. And he says, number three, and for our substance. God has been gracious to bless us. And we need to know how to use what God's blessed us with, whether it's our health, whether it's our time, whether it's our provisions, whatever God has blessed us with. Whether it's our family, many of you have been blessed with a lot of kids, what a blessing that is. He says, I want to know a right way for myself, I want to know a right way for my kids, and I want to know a right way for my substance of what God has blessed me with. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Not going to be consumed with fear in every direction. I don't know about you, but sometimes I experience it. And most of the time it's on things that never really come to pass. But he says, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Not going to be dwelling and consumed with fear all the time. And shall be quiet from fear. Shall be quiet from fear of evil. You look to the Lord and you pray that God gives you wisdom. You associate with the right people. You look to the right sources. Look to God's Word. And he says there's some safety in it. And he says there's some freedom in it. And he says there's some deliverance in it. And he says you're not going to be going around with fear all the time. You're going to be going around anxious all the time. But you're going to be dwelling safely in the presence and direction and blessing of Almighty God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Lot of distractions. Satan would like to attack young men to keep them from walking in the right way. Young women. Middle-aged men. Middle-aged women. If Satan can get us off course, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to his word, by applying it in our life, in the precepts that God blesses us with. The solutions for it are in God's word. May God bless you.